The following was recorded live from the Sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an on-time message from the Word of God.
Let's wake up a little bit, and this man, wow. Man, put your arms out, wake your hands a little bit. Mercy. Let's be alive today. Let's be alive. Glad that we're able to be here. Awaken to reality. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to learn about every day in every way being better and better. And we have a little beach vibe today going on, if you didn't notice. Did anyone notice? Okay, they are here, Pastor Otis. They are here. Hallelujah. So we got this beach vibe. You know, many of us like going to the beach, and some of us, like my wife, love going to the beach. But most of us aren't going to the beach right now. So we got the beach. Does anyone remember old Earl Pitts on the radio? We got some over 50s here. If you ever heard him, he would tell little silly, stupid things, and then he'd say, "Wake up, America!" So,
that's your jam box.
My beatbox. So it's like us. It's like, wake up, church. Wake up, believers. Awaken to reality. So Romans chapter 13, if you want to turn there, that'll be our main text for this morning. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 through 14, and I'm going to be reading out of the King James. Remember when we were in school? Raise your hand when you're there. It's just so quiet today. Wow. "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be more motivated. I want to be more disciplined. I want to be more confident. I want to live my life on purpose and feel more vibrant, more connected. I want to feel more fulfilled in my life. Would you like that? Isn't that what we want? So we want to wake up to that. What is your reality today? Is your current reality what your reality should be? Do you allow the world's circumstances to control your everyday, especially now? Fear, anxiety, nervousness, frustration. I actually haven't been up here giving a message for a few years, and I've just really been nervous this morning. And I had a few people pray for me, and so I was a little nervous. But are those the things that are in our life? Fear, anxiety, nervousness, frustration, is that what we're dealing with every day? Because if our reality is based, is our reality based on the Word of God? Or is our reality based on whatever today throws at you? Do we wake up with a plan? Or do we wake up and say, we'll just see what happens. We'll just see what the day's going to be. And now, it's crazy. How many times a day do we hear crazy? We had to get together at my house yesterday. We processed some chickens, and there's, you know, about 16 people there. We just had such an awesome time. And we were all believers. And there was a lot of us yesterday. It's like crazy. It's crazy. Things are just crazy. Everyone's saying crazy. I'll tell you, it's crazy. Just crazy times. Just cray cray. Just it's crazy. I don't know what's going on. It's just crazy. I won't say raise your hand if that's you. It's just crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Okay. Is your reality crazy? Or is your reality that you have the mind of Christ? Philippians 2:5 tells us to put on the mind of Christ. And guess what? Christ's mind, Jesus' mind, is not crazy. Today's just crazy. I don't know what to do. It's crazy. Are you putting on the mind of Christ? Because there's no crazy there. And we as believers are supposed to put on the mind of Christ, awaken to reality, the reality that Jesus puts on the inside of us as children, as His children, as believers in Him, as born again men and women. We have the mind of Christ and our life's not crazy. Our day's not crazy. Our job's not crazy. Our kids aren't crazy. Our home's not crazy. Quit walking in the world's reality. If the news upsets you, don't watch it. Turn it off. Oh, did you watch the news? Oh, it's just crazy. Maybe if we don't watch the news and read the Word a little bit. How many get up in the morning and the first thing you go to is the news? Got to see what happened. See how much new craziness is going on. But you know, you can open up your Bible and read a little bit and you can walk in reality. The Bible is all of the wisdom and all of the knowledge that has ever been shared since the beginning of time. Raise your hand on this one. Who has a Bible this morning? On your phone, a hard Bible. Who has a Bible? That is all of the wisdom and knowledge right there since the very beginning of time you have at your fingertips. And Proverbs 4:7, what does it tell you? Above all things, seek wisdom and knowledge. Bible's easy, right? All the knowledge and wisdom ever created. And God said, seek wisdom and knowledge. And here it is, my word I give you. But Miss Ivy, it's just too crazy. I can't even focus on the word. It's just too crazy. That's why we're going to wake up to reality today. Because you're believers. Are there some believers in here? Okay. Let's pull ourselves out of this. Last week, Pastor Otis talked about love. So we're going to pick up on that. Love was the very first mentioned fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So we'll pull off of Pastor Otis's love and we'll talk about joy and peace today. As believers, that passage that we just read, we are told to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. Not walk in fear, anxiety, depression, craziness, but said walk in the fruits of the Spirit. Walk in it. It's so simple, yet it's so difficult. But to walk in it, that's not a suggestion. Jesus didn't say, Jerry, I suggest you walk in love. It will be a good thought, a good idea, and your life would probably be a little better if you would learn how to walk in love and joy. That's not how Jesus said it. Jesus said, Miss Linda, walk in love. And Jesus said, walk in joy. And Jesus said, walk in peace. It wasn't a suggestion. It takes action from us. If I wanna run and say, hey, Linda, glad you're here. I know, I wasn't going to actually. And if I want to run over here and say, Susie, and run over here and say, hi, Tony, this is action. I'm walking. I'm moving. And Jesus is telling you to do something, to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. That means, guess what? Jesus, just let me quit feeling crazy. Jesus, just give me love. But I'm not going to walk over here and do anything about it. I said, Jesus, just give me some love. Sometimes, now listen to this, and don't take it wrong or out of context, but sometimes praying is a way for us not to do anything. Living in joy and peace requires something from us. When we come to church, do you feel good? You people say, I feel good when I go to church. If we felt terrible when we went, we probably wouldn't come, right? So I go to church. I feel good. But what do? We do something, right? When we came, what do? We prayed. We stood up. We moved. We sang. Some of us did a little, almost a dance. I've been practicing dancing. You ever just dance, like no one's? I can dance better than I thought. But we can move and we can raise our hands and we can sing and we can, not as much now, but we can hug and love and shake hands and we come in here and we got all this action going on. And then we sit down and then you're listening and you're reading and you're watching and you're praying and you're believing and you're praying for other people. And you may be operating in some gifts of the Spirit and sharing some prophecies or sharing a word, or you may be the one receiving a word. We got all this action going on in this room. It's full of action. We're engaged and connected on so many different levels. That's why we feel good here. And then we walk out the door. And then we say, I don't feel like I felt when I was at church. I feel different. Well, what do you do when you leave here? Did you go to Walmart and dance a jig in the aisle and say, praise Jesus, hallelujah? Did you run around like Jerry? Do you raise hands? Do you pray for people? Do you shout? Do you sing? Do you read the word? You see, we leave here, and all those things that we do in this little squeezed together hour and a half that are bombarding at us, all this stuff, and then we go, and all that stuff's not happening, and we wonder why things feel different on Monday, because there's no action there anymore. We're not doing anything anymore. And then we've been hearing about Bethel's Connect groups, which Connect groups are awesome. If you're not in one, find one, get in one. Come see me, come talk to me. We're starting new ones. Trust me, you will feel left out at Bethel if you don't get in a Connect group. Because we have some things coming up, and you just got to be involved. Because this little squeeze together hour and a half or hour and 45 minutes of everything, it's not enough. You've got to make connections. But we have to not only connect with God and other people, you have to connect with yourself. What? Talked about dancing. I didn't know. I could dance a little bit. I'm connecting with me. Wow. There's all kinds of things you can do that you didn't know. What's causing you to not have joy and peace? Jesus tells us the two greatest commands in Matthew chapter 22. He tells us the two greatest commands in the whole Bible to love God, right, with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The two greatest commands that takes action. Many of us don't know our neighbors, but worse than that, half the time we can't stand ourselves. Top two commandments to love yourself. I don't want to have joy, I want to be angry. I have a right to be angry. Do you know Jesus? I went up to the altar and I knelt down and I prayed to have joy and for anger to leave, and I'm just as mad as I've ever been. What are you doing about it? Well, I prayed. I'm just still angry. Love God. Love your neighbor. Love yourself. Maybe you're angry because you don't like yourself very well yet. Every day in every way, be better and better. Where's my pen? Let's hit it again. We're drifting. We want joy today. What makes you feel good? I don't know. What makes you feel good? Come on. I love it. I love everyone here. And you know how many people are here right now going like this? So you can stay that way, but I'm not going to stay that way. That's your choice to not walk in the fruits of the Spirit. You are the righteousness. Listen. Whew. For those old bulls out there, you are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Do you understand? The Word of God tells us that. You are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Own that.
Yes.
Own it. Be bold. Stand tall. You're not sad. You're not angry. You're not depressed. You're not defeated. You are the righteousness of God through Christ.
That's right, that's
Wake
right.
up to that reality. Walk tall. Just walk. Do you know just standing? Some of you was in the military. I wasn't. But they teach you to stand. Because that makes you feel better. Come on. They teach you to stand and walk tall. You are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Yes. I can do all things through Christ. You are not defeated. You are not beaten down. You are not broken. Yeah. Where do you spend your time? Jerry Faith, rabbit trail. For about 7 years, I've had something called, I call it Jerry Faith. I preached a message on it once, it's called Jerry Faith. Because he'll do that anywhere. And what he has, that joy and that freedom to say, praise Jesus, do you understand? Have you accepted Christ? Yes. Well, you have that too. Well, you don't know what I've been through. Well, you don't know what Jerry been through.
Amen.
Sometimes I go in services down to camp meetings, and they call me the runner. They call me the wild man, and I'm glad they can call me that. Praise God, but it's through Jesus.
He doesn't have to be the only one. What you focus on is what you feel. Do you focus on what you have, or do you spend your time focusing on what you don't have? Do you spend your time focusing on what's missing? If I only. Because when you focus on what's missing, you cannot sustain any joy. Do you know that, Betty, you were created in the very image of God for such a time as this? How can you say how crazy things are when you know that? Kathy, did you know that you were created in the very image of God for such a time as this? But times are so crazy. But this is your time. You were made for now for a reason. Did you know that God aligned trillions of cells? To be exact, Miss Tina, God aligned 37.2 trillion cells to create you. That alone should be a reason for us to never say it's just crazy. 37.2 trillion cells God took and created Tina for such a time as this. How can we not have joy? You were created with those 37.2 trillion cells for this moment in time, for this moment in history, right now. Nothing around us is crazy. Everything around us is miraculous. Janice, Miss Janice, God has given you unbelievable potential for such a time as this. And I said Miss Janice because she knows what some of that potential is and she's walking in it. But every one of you, God has given unbelievable potential. And you can be walking in it. We can't leave our growth, our joy, our peace, our love. We can't leave that to mere randomness. We can't leave that to spontaneity. And say, well, let's just see what happens. We have to walk in it. You know, we have to do things in the proper season. You hear that a lot. But there's seasons for us to do things in. There's right seasons and wrong seasons. I said, but I just don't always know. Pastor Otis said, maybe Miss Ivy said, one of the two said, God doesn't just always tell us everything all the time. I looked at Tony Maxey and I said, but a little bit now and then's nice, isn't it? But the Word teaches us above all things to seek wisdom and knowledge. So there's a season for everything in your life that you need to do. You know, I've got a picture of a garden up here, and this past April, it's time to plant garden. So in April, I'm preparing and planting garden. It was the season. It was the time where we live, zone 6. It was the time where we live to plant seeds and watch them grow. December 25th, you can come to this altar and pray for a week and fast and believe. And if you go out in the yard and try to plant a tomato seed, it will not grow. It's not the right season. So we have to figure out what season we're in. And now is the time to plant and grow things. So that the most of that was planted in April, the first part of May. Oh, okay. Does anyone ever have a garden? Well, my garden has weeds. And you know, do you think if I got a positive mantra, is that how you say that? We're on YouTube and I'm really probably messing with things. I got a thumbs up from the video guy. There's a spot. Honey, I gotta stay in a spot. Joy. You see that? Your merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's what the Bible says. That was on purpose. So you could get some joy. So I look at my garden and I got this mantra. I'm like, I'm gonna will no weeds. I'm gonna will them. No weeds. And I got sweat beads dripping off of me. My face is turning red. No weeds in my garden. No weeds, I say. And then I'm like, that's not enough. I know who Jesus is. Jesus, no weeds. I'm going to fast every Monday for no weeds in my garden. And guess what? That's easy to understand, right? I got weeds. So what did me and my weed team member back there in the back, what do we do? Well, we try to go to the garden every few days and spend about an hour, and we pull out the weeds. And then they're gone. Wow. Wow. I don't have that many weeds, do I? But that's hours and hours and hours. But we want something in that 2-minute prayer, and we don't want to pull the weed. If you leave your life to randomness, if I left my garden to randomness and just see what's going to happen, I can tell you what will happen. Does anyone else? What will happen? Nothing. It takes action from us to walk and to do it. What weeds do you need to do something about? Jesus tells us, sow seed, make fishers of man. Both of those things mean you have to be involved and do something. Well, I'm not called to the fivefold ministry. I'm not an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28 that once you accept Christ, you are called to make disciples. Well, I don't know how to do that, but you have access to all the wisdom and knowledge in all eternity of all time. What are you called to do? Love your neighbor, love yourself. Make disciples. Awaken. Awaken to reality. We were talking at Connect Group a few weeks ago. Faith without works. We've heard it taught, preached, debated. Faith without works is dead. And I'm finally understanding that. Because we have to do something. We have to have action. I want to walk in joy and love and peace. Okay, you have to walk in it then. It requires an action from you. I've been on a 4-year journey with my weight. Some of you know. I'm going to try to get healthier, and I have a long ways to go. But I started on about a 4-year journey, and the first year and a half or so, I lost about 75 pounds. You know how I lost 75 pounds? I sat in front of the TV all day, every day, and ate potato chips and ice cream. Why are you laughing? You don't think I watched TV and ate potato chips and ice cream and lost 75 pounds? I spent a lot of time praying and seeking God and seeking wisdom and knowledge. But then I had to do things, didn't I? So we can understand that. You can laugh and say, no, you can't lose weight watching TV, eating ice cream, potato chips. Duh. It's so easy to understand. One more time before we finish up.
All right, brother.
You're all at least smiling this time. Hallelujah. Awaken to reality. Hallelujah. You see, everyone's smiling that time. Isn't that? It's we're getting some joy. But we haven't done anything. Yeah, you got some stuff going on. Yeah, you do. There's some things going on with you. finish up. We have the beach set up, and you're still probably wondering why. Chris said, yeah, we are. Any ideas? There's someone in there. We're going to treasure hunt. So we're going to talk about drawing a line in the sand. I'll be a few minutes, Tony. We're going to talk about drawing a line in the sand. And we've heard that expression before. And it means many different things. It actually goes back to biblical times. And it can mean many things. But when you look that up, just a couple things that draw a line in the sand. Oh, Wikipedia says, to lay down a challenge, to provide a test of commitment to a cause. And then another one, Wikipedia says, to indicate the threshold or level above which something will become unacceptable. Ha. And then, in America, drawing a line in the sand goes back to the Alamo. I'm going to read a letter. They have a copy of this letter in the Texas State Library and Archives. And on February 23rd, 1836, at the Alamo, there the Mexican troops were in the thousands, and General Travis had maybe around 200 forces. And I want to read this letter. The church internet thing keeps popping up here. Ah! February 24th, 1836. This is from Colonel William Travis, who was the colonel at the Alamo. To the people of Texas and all Americans in the world, fellow citizens and compatriots, I am besieged by 1,000 or more of the Mexicans under Santa Ana. I have sustained a continual bombardment and cannonade for 24 hours and have not lost a man. The enemy has demanded a surrender at discretion. Otherwise, the garrison are to be put to the sword if the fort is taken. I have answered the demand with a cannon shot, and our flag still waves proudly from the walls. I shall never surrender or retreat. Then I call on you in the name of liberty, of patriotism, and everything dear to the American character to come to our aid with all dispatch. The enemy is receiving reinforcements daily and will no doubt increase to 3,000 or 4,000 in 4 or 5 days. If this call is neglected, I am determined to sustain myself as long as possible and die like a soldier who never forgets what is due to his own honor and that of his country. And then the story goes that after he sent that letter, Colonel William Travis, commander of the Alamo forces, pulled all of his troops together, probably around 200 men. Some of you have heard him, Jim Bowie, Davy Crockett. He pulled them all together. And he said, he pulled the Alamo defenders together. He explained to them that defeat was almost certain. And he read the letter of surrender that I just read to you. Travis then, having chosen to die rather than surrender, reportedly pulled out his battle sword. I wonder if these... He pulled out his battle sword and he walked over to the sand and he drew a line in the sand. And Travis stood on one side of the line. And he told his troops that if they chose to stay, most likely they would die. And he needed everyone to cross that line with him that wanted to stay. And he would release the rest. And everybody there, I think it was except for Jim Bowie, because he was injured and hurt. He didn't leave. Everybody there crossed over the line and said, "We will defend the Alamo." What are you tired of today? What do you want changed today? Maybe you can't grab a hold of joy. And this message resonates with me because I have been working hard on trying to keep joy and not let crazy affect me. What do you want tomorrow, next week, next month, next year? If we start building wisdom and knowledge and skills with Jesus, we can achieve it. And that momentum in going after it will give you joy and make you feel alive. The stars don't need to line up for you to have joy. I'll throw a smile in there. I said it this morning. When you come to Bethel, even if you don't have joy, isn't it great that you can see joy? We have a lady here named Miss Joy Burdett. And that sounds silly, but it's like, you know what? I don't have any joy. I'm going to go talk to Joy. Because I have never, ever, I've been here 7 years. I've never been around her that she's not smiling and happy and positive and optimistic. Ever. So she is fitting to her name. Nothing is stopping you from having joy. You have every right to have joy and to be happy inside and to be at peace. Don't let your brain lie to you and tell you you can't be happy. Romans, what we started with, Romans chapter 13. Listen to this in the Message version. Verse 11 through 14. In the Message version, it says, "But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break." Hallelujah! See, me and our AV person, we got something going, and she probably did that to me. I thought that doesn't sound. So the night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Here it is. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work He began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute. Must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around in dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter, don't linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. Awaken to reality. The reality that you need to be walking in joy and peace. And you need to be fulfilling your destiny. Drawing that line in the sand seems so simple of a thing. Yet our reality is blank. We need to awaken to that reality that Father God wants you to be able to fulfill your destiny. And what does your destiny look like? My destiny is different than your destiny, but our destination is the same. Quit going through the motions every day in every way. Be better and better. Quit going through those motions. Every day in every way, be better and better. Ask yourself this. What is at risk if I don't change? What is at risk if I stay the way I am right now? Yeah. I wasn't sure if I was going to do this, but I am. Today, this day, July 12th, 2020. What time is it? Huh, I got it. 11:39. This day, July 12th, 2020, at 11:39, ask yourself, what line do I need to draw in the sand? And don't wait. We just read those passages. You can't afford to wait. You can't wait one more year. You can't wait one more quarter. You can't wait one more month. You can't wait one more week. You can't wait one more day. Don't wait one more hour. Don't say, I'll change when I leave today. I'm going to think about this afternoon. What are you tired of? What are you fed up with? What do you want changed? What does God want to change in your life? We have to rise up and be the church. We don't know when we can get together anymore and when we can't. So we got to rise up and be the church. We got to be prepared. We have to be ready. Awaken to God's reality. And draw your line. Draw your line in the sand. Quit putting off the life that God wants for you. You are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. You have so much potential. You have so much to offer the world. You have gifts and talents and abilities. You have the very mind of Christ. You have eternal wisdom and knowledge. You realize that? Your trillions of cells were put together for such a time as this. You were created for now. What an opportunity to be alive. And I'm going to offer this morning. I didn't know for sure if I was, with all the social distancing guidelines and such, but we'll do it very strategically. I do not want to coerce anyone. But if you feel something inside of you that you want to draw a line just for you in your mind, you want to see that. You want to draw that line in the sand and you want to say, it's going to be different. I'm going to be better. I'm going to do better. Or maybe you're doing great and you want to go to the next place, the next level. I don't know. You may want to draw a line that in your mind is something you feel you need to step over. You may want to draw a line that you need to step back from. We read the definition of it. To provide a test of commitment or to indicate something that's unacceptable. Maybe you have unacceptable things and today you're done with those unacceptable things. I don't know. And maybe you need to come and have that visual for yourself to say, today, this day forward, yeah. I'm going to have joy. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have love.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.